Namaste, everyone. Welcome to the Charvak Podcast. This is your host, Kushal Mehra. All right, today we are going to talk about another book. This time we have with us the author of Modi 3.0, Bigger, Higher, Stronger, Pradeep Bhandari ji. Kya haal hai, Pradeep? How are you doing, brother?
Namaskar, Kushal. Great to be on your podcast. As always, intellectually stimulating.
Very good. So congratulations on your book. Now, how has the response been so far? Yaar, bahut ghoom rahe ho aajkal, to tumhara election time hai, to bada tumhara ghoomna chalu hoga.
I've been traveling. Main 4-5 din to show rehta hai mera with the Z, but main 2-3 din travel karta hu. So it is good fun. Or yes, the book has been doing very good. In fact, without abhi official launch bhi nahi kiya, but it has reached number one on the political chart ke upar, so it is doing wonderful. And this is my second book and it is doing quite good. Yeah,
so good to hear that. So how did you manage to write this book, man? How did you find the time? Like show bhi karte ho, Kushal Mehra ki podcast pe bhi aate ho, sab kuch karte ho, fir book bhi likh dete ho.
So ye show shuru karne ke pehle maine isko complete kar liya tha. So is baar mera kya objective tha, कुशल, कि इस बार मैं ये चाहता था कि किताब जो है, मैं जितना भी इलेक्शंस की जो गतिविधियां हैं, इलेक्शन कमीशन के डे, जिस दिन इलेक्शन अनाउंस हुआ उसके पहले तक का, इसको मैं मैप करूं. और इस बार मैंने जो फर्क इस बार ये किया है, क्योंकि मैं जब सितंबर 2023 से ट्रैवल कर रहा था, मुझे अभी तक एक यूनानिमिटी देखने को मिली थी और एक कंसिस्टेंसी देखने को मिली थी पब्लिक ओपिनियन में. तो मैंने सोचा कि इस बार लेट मी टेक अ ह्यूज रिस्क एंड स्टिक माय नेक आउट. क्योंकि जनरली क्या होता है, जब लोग पोल करते हैं, पोलिंग करते हैं, तो अपने सर्विस चेंज करते हैं. आई वॉन्टेड टू गिव एन ओवरव्यू ऑफ हाउ आई वर्क, व्हाट आर द पीपल ऑफ इंडिया थिंकिंग ऑन द ग्राउंड, एंड अलॉन्ग विद दैट गिव एन ओवरव्यू ऑफ व्हाट कैन बी द फ्यूचर ऑफ द इंडियन पॉलिटी. सो द फर्स्ट चैप्टर the book starts with Ayodhya, and because that is where the pulse of the people of the country, I was there for at least 7 to 10 days. I could gauge what the people of the country were thinking, and they were coming from Tamil Nadu, Kerala, all parts of the country. Then it moves towards analyzing the two blocks, which is the NDA and the India Alliance. I call NDA as the super NDA versus the India Alliance, and I look at the strengths and the weaknesses of the two. And then I basically conclude, why will the India Alliance not be a successful formula, and analyze that with primary data and analysis. Then the third is my sociological analysis for the 2024 elections, where I'm put on probabilities for the NDA to touch 400 cross seats more than last time. What can be state-wise performance of different political parties, and then I make 10 big broad conclusions, if you see. So the one of those conclusions which I make is that Congress will get lesser votes than what it got in 2019. The BJP will get more votes than what it got in 2019. The more women. So there are multiple conclusions which I've made. And the best part about this is, Kushal, that this is the first book in the country, and I say this with all humility, where I've completely put out my model on how do I predict. I've also put on my pictures traveling and speaking to different people, so that there is absolute transparency. The chapter number 4 is on the Modi phenomena. A lot of people speak about this phenomena. This election is all about Modi versus anti-Modi block. So what is this Modi phenomena from the eye of the people of India? And that's where I explain the Modi tripod, with the tripod which makes him win, which is about welfareism, India's civilizational pride and global prestige. And then the last chapter is a very interesting chapter, which is what I would urge all your viewers to read it, because they will love the last chapter, which is about the future of Indian polity, where in the last 9 years, what I have seen as constant factors for any politician to win an election, I have listed that. And I have used a very important term in my last para of the book, where I say that in 2019, I had said that only a conscious, committed and a nationalist opposition can defeat the BJP. Now I add another term to this in run-up to 2024. Only a nationalist, conscious and a committed and a dharmic opposition can defeat the BJP. And if things stand by, Narendra Modi will go down as an undefeated Prime Minister of India. So this is what my last chapter of the book is, and this is what I conclude and end my book with. So it has been a fascinating, this has been a lot of intellectually stimulating exercise for me too. The book is good fun, and I'm coming out with the Marathi and Hindi version and Tamil version also very soon.
Oh, interesting. So why in so many languages, just out of curiosity, why?
Kushal, because I basically, my always objective of all my work has been that it should reach the masses. So through English is where I reach a significant part of the audience base. But I do want this to be read by people in, like last time my Hindi book had done exceedingly well. And this time I had got calls from a lot of one or two Tamil publishers that they are interested in publishing my book in Tamil too. So I want to take it towards there because I discuss a significant part of the future of the Hindutva politics or Dharmic politics in southern part of the country, and Marathi also, because I do feel I want the youth who do not have English as their first language to also read the book and understand why Modi wins and in what scenario, what are the narratives which work on the ground. So it's a pure original data analysis is what I say. It's not secondary data analysis. Not a single news article has been referred to in order to conclude conclude a political conclusion. All has been done from primary data on the ground zero.
So you start your chapter 3 with a quote. You say Narendra Modi 3.0 will be stronger and bigger. Only a political black swan event can change this.
Yes.
Now, I'm playing devil's advocate. So full disclosure, the final voting tally percentage is not out as of now today. I will give all the caveats before you tell me, Kushal, aisi baatein kyun karta rehta tu? But I will give you the caveats. Yes, we don't know which booths have voted where. So it could be that the voting percentage could be low in traditional non-BJP holds and the voting percentage in the BJP holds would be high. I'm willing to concede all of that. Let's say we start today. As of now, we don't know the final numbers. Final numbers of the voting turnout will be released tomorrow. But let's say we talk about, let's say, Rajasthan. So I'll give you an example. As of now, the EC says 59% people turned up to vote in Alwar, while last time the final voting percentage in the constituency of Alwar was 67.17%. So if the voting percentage is low, then what would you contribute? Because I want to talk about your model. So I'm connecting it to what has happened today.
Yes.
Is because, you know, chapter 3 is about your modular thing, correct? Right? That's why.
Yes. So exactly, yes. So this is the page number 113 of the book, near where I speak about the entire probability of it, which you were also mentioning in the start of the chapter 3. See, Kushal, I'm the political black swan event can be in a scenario where the voting percentage is significantly less than last time. And right now, I will hold any concluding the current voting percentage because I had seen it in Madhya Pradesh Assembly elections too. When the evening we were discussing, the voting percentage was not significantly well. But by morning when the Election Commission updated, it was roughly 1 or 2% less than the last time. Now, the caveat here, Kushal, which I am very, very confident about, is that the political black swan event is, there is a very less likelihood of that happening, is because the 50% of the electorate is the women. And even today, what we were polling and my team was polling data on the ground, what we were seeing is that the women voting percentage is unanimously voting one way. I cannot comment which way, you also know it which way, but there is a unanimity in that. And this is where I see it this election to be going completely one direction. So a political black swan event can only happen when overall voting percentage is significantly less than last time. So, and also in that, Kushal, what we have to see, which is what we also see in the data point, there are two possibilities in which a voting percentage can come low. Possibility A is that, let's say everybody knows that only Modi is coming, so only certain people who are agreeing to vote Narendra Modi come out to vote, and that is the voter which has come, and the opposition voter also knows that the Modi is coming, so the voting percentage on an anti-vote which constitute the total vote is less. The other angle, other aspect is where you say that, okay, less people have come out to vote, Modi voter is overconfident, and it's the opposition voter who has gone out to vote in one direction, and this is where it can be extremely dangerous for the BJP. Now, why does the second possibility does not arise? I'll tell you why. Let's look at two seats is what I want to give. Seat number one is, say, Saharanpur. Now, Saharanpur is where the voting percentage has been significantly high if you compare to other seats in Western UP which have polled right now. Now, in other seats in Western UP, I can tell you for sure, is I don't want to comment on who's winning or losing, but the trends were showing a very good performance of the Bharatiya Janata Party. Whereas in Saharanpur, it was what was shown, what we were seeing on the ground in the initial rounds of polling was that the BJP was finding it difficult. So in that context, if I look at this overall voting percentage, I do not see this as a black swan event when I compare this with the case study of a Saharanpur and a Moradabad.
Fair enough. Now, in your chapter 3, you start with three particular constituencies. Can we spend some time there, if you don't mind?
Yes.
So one is Sambhal, one is Moradabad, and one is Amroha. You've already mentioned Moradabad. Yes. I'm not putting up my Kindle copy because for obvious reasons, it's the publisher's copy. I don't want to put up the screen. But can you explain your analysis there? I found it very fascinating, Pradeep. That's why I want you to spend some time and break it down. Like, how did you break down the analysis? I found it very interesting because you do the caste community composition for all the three constituencies, which is figure one, figure two, and figure three, where you give a breakdown. Which is after the Sambhal rally of 19 February 2024 and before the Sambhal rally of 2024. And it's, I think, page 98, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
It is on number 98.
I am on the page number 98 of the book, is where you're talking about Uttar Pradesh, right? Yes, I'm on 98.
Yeah. So how did you make this baseline calculation? Can you explain that for all the three? Like, why did you say this shift? Like, let's say in the Yadav, right? Yadav vote, before the PM rally, you give it an 85 percentile. Sample size is 1,500.
Correct.
And then you take it down to 70. Like, so what are the factors? This is what I wanted you to explain in the in that analysis, like for Sambhal.
So if you allow me to tell you basically how do we do it. Now, why am I very specifically telling you about Sambhal and Amroha? Because these are the constituencies, Kushal, which the Bharatiya Janata Party in pre-2014 era rarely had won that constituency. These are the constituencies where significant portion of Muslim vote comes into the picture. Now, in 2014 and 19, I will give you a data point. In 2019, out of the 8 seats which the BJP had gone to contest in this phase, the BJP ended up winning only 3. BSP had won more seats. So BSP won all its 3 seats in 2019, whereas the BJP could win only 3 of the ones which it was contesting. So these are very indicator seats which tells you whether Modi can sweep or does not sweep. Now, why do I discuss Sambhal and Amroha? Because all of them have more than 35% Muslim vote. Now, in this scenario, before the Modi rally, when we had polled, what we were seeing is that the Yadav voters were significantly polling towards Akhilesh Yadav. So imagine that the opposition in both these seats is from a base of 35% and is starting from a base of 35%, the 90% of that 35% vote. So your opponent is starting with a 25% baseline. Now, for you to compete with that baseline, you need the next at least 80% of the next 60% vote. Now, in these two constituencies, there are good numbers of Yadav votes. When we were polling the Yadav vote before the Modi rally, what we were seeing is that 70% of the Yadav vote was shifting towards Akhilesh Yadav and Samajwadi Party. But after Modi's rally, and after Narendra Modi mentioning and going hammer and tongs that this is not an election for your assembly, not your Jat Path, but for the country, what we could see is that particularly the Yadav women and also the Yadav men who were more than 50 years of age, those who started to drift towards the Bharatiya Janata Party. Not the youth Yadav, the young Yadav, but the middle-aged Yadav, which gave us which is where our data set moved towards the BJP having a possibility of winning these two seats. Now, today when I poll, I see a further tilt towards the Bharatiya Janata Party in these two seats, which was also very astonishing for me personally. So, as I say, that an election is on constants and variables. Variable is a swing cast which defines in a very charged up constituency whether that swing cast can move from one party to the other. Now, Yadav has been a traditional base of the Samajwadi Party. And in these constituencies where there are 35 to 40% Muslim vote, if this cast moves away from Samajwadi Party to the BJP, we get a signal of knowing that it is a wave.
Now, what would you tell someone, let's say, I'm trying to get viewer questions right now is because I think it's connected to your book. Let's say, for example, right? Somebody has asked, more than 50% people didn't vote in 2019 for Prime Minister Modi. And now there seems to be an overall more voter turnout. So do you think it is necessarily a bad news for the BJP?
See, I don't understand this logic of more than 50% is a very wrong logic. With this argument, even more than 50% people had never voted for Rajiv Gandhi also when he had got more than 400 seats individually. Even Mamata Banerjee, more than 50% people did not vote. Even Pinrai Vijayan, more than 50% people did not vote. So this whole argument of 50% does not stand, because our polling is based on ultimately total voters who come out to vote, who gets the majority vote of those total voters who come out to vote. So imagine if 10 voters come out to vote, and out of those 10 voters, I get 4 votes, you get 3 votes, and the other person gets 2 votes, which means I am the winner. You cannot conclude that these 6 were against me and I should be rejected. That's not our polling system. So let's get the base correct. So this 50% logic does not apply per se, because we are not a presidential election where you have to poll in that manner. Now let us come to Modi's vote share. What I am projecting in this book, Kushal, is that Narendra Modi got 37% vote share in 2019. What I am projecting, BJP per se on its own will cross 40% vote share very, very easily, because its vote share is increasing in Tamil Nadu, its vote share is increasing in Telangana, its vote share is increasing in Bengal, its vote share is increasing in Uttar Pradesh, its vote share is increasing in Odisha. These are states where its vote share is increasing significantly. Its vote share is also increasing in Punjab. So, in fact, its vote share is also increasing in Maharashtra. So I'm not seeing any possibility where the BJP's vote share is depleting. So last time BJP got 22 crore votes, which was 7 crore more than 2014. So this time I'm seeing the BJP furthering its tally with at least 2.5-3 crore extra votes than last time. So imagine that from 14 to now, the BJP has ended up adding from a base of 8 crores towards, say, if the BJP touches a 24-25 crore votes, it has added up at least roughly 17-16 crore votes in the name of Modi. Also, one more point, Kushal, you need to understand, the Congress party, whenever it used to be in power, the Congress party always used to win with only getting roughly 10-11 crore votes. Okay, so when the UPA was in power in 2009, the UPA got roughly 10 crore odd votes of the country, right? If you go and Google it, and if you see the data point, 10 crore was the vote that the Congress party had got in 2009. It formed a majority coalition. Modi is getting double the vote that UPA could get in 2009. So the quantity of vote with which Modi is winning is unparalleled, which we have seen in the past. So if you want to look at it from that context, this is the maximum representation of the people's verdict that you have seen in the last 3 decades in Indian polity. With a higher voting percentage. So mind you, with Nehru used to win, the voting percentage was not 65, 64, 63, 70. When in the voting percentage, Modi winning is a higher voting percentage along with a higher vote share of that voting percentage. And with the 90% population, which is 85% population, which is literate plus.
Okay. Then... But how do we make these assumptions in your model? See, because I want to take you to another place in your model in the same chapter.
You're talking about the third chapter, right?
Yeah, third. We're sticking to the third chapter because honestly, between you and I, Pradeep, that's where the rubber meets the road, right? That is the meat of your book. Honestly, chapter 3 is the meat of your book, right? Am I getting it wrong?
You're getting it completely correct.
Yeah, so now you have said... where can the Congress do better? I want to focus on that bit. You have written, the Congress has a chance of increments in Telangana and Karnataka, although in Karnataka, the JDS and the BJP has a seat share, 28 seat sharing alliance, which may whittle down any substantial increase in seats for the party. There is a good possibility of a rise in seats in Telangana, but that will be a marginal increase in one of the 3 seats, which still keeps the Congress at less than 44%. Now, and then you go and talk about swing states and stuff like that. And then you have a block at the bottom of the page where you say, therefore, it is likely that the Congress seat tally will be less than 40 in a 2024 general elections. And it is certain that the Congress will get around 44 seats in this elections. Like, okay, explain this. Let's talk about the Congress. How did you reach that conclusion?
Okay, so it's simple, right? Let us go with the basic basic logic. The Congress was at around more than 50 seats, if I'm not wrong, 52, 53, just correct me, the last time. Now, when the Congress party got these more than 50 seats, it was 44 in 2014. The majority of these seats had come from Kerala, and the majority of these seats had come from Punjab. So 50% of the Kerala Congress had swept by, I think, getting majority 90% plus seats of them. There was only one seat which the other alliance had won. And Punjab also, the Congress was the main party which was there. Yeah. So these were the two which contributed more than 20 seats from the Congress tally of 52. Now, in both these states, where I'm saying and concluding, if you see that the Congress party is depleting. In Kerala also, you are not seeing a Congress party. If you see where I put forward here, that there is a negative vote swing possible for the Congress party in Kerala. And if you read the table number 8, where I say that there is a 92% probability for the Congress to go less than 52 and 75% probability for the Congress to go less than 44. Now, I'm telling you, why am I saying this? Now, see, the Congress is depleting as per our data set in Punjab. The Congress was at 8 seats in Punjab out of 11. We are seeing the BJP doing significantly well in data as per our data on minimum 3 to 4 seats. And Aam Aadmi Party at loggerheads with the Congress party. So the Congress, if you see, and if I detail it further, that the Congress will depletes in Punjab by at least minimum 2 to 3 seats than last time. In Kerala also, the Congress party depletes further than what it was last time with at least minimum 2 to 3 seats. So which means that even in the best case scenario for the Congress party, I see the Congress party falling less than 50. This is where I conclude that there is a 92% probability for the Congress to be less than 50. Now, let's say where is there possibility for the Congress to rise? I don't see any other state for the Congress to rise except Telangana. There also the Congress rise is not disproportionate. It is a very marginal rise of 2 to 3 seats. Now with these 2 to 3 seats of the Congress is rising, there is another depletion of 2 to 3 seats which are taking place from other part of the country. Say for example, Jharkhand. Last time there was seat with the JMM and the Congress won. This time the BJP is doing well. Last time there was a seat of Bastar which the Congress pulled heavily. This time we are seeing one way seat towards the Bharatiya Janata Party. So similarly, if you see in Maharashtra also, there is the seats which is coming down for the Congress party. So if you look at it, in essence, what I'm trying to conclude is that from the Hindi heartland, the Congress party is not gaining significantly than what it had last time, but it is coming down from its two major states, which is Kerala and Punjab, which contributed it to reach to 54. This is where I say that there is a possibility that the Congress can even be less than 44 or around the less than 50 tally with a 90% probability. So if you see, and I want to read why the Congress tally could go less than 40, and I read for my viewers, naturally, yeah. Certain seats will only be decided very close to the election in the polling booth. And these pockets will depend on how the momentum shapes. But what we can conclude with certainty is that the Congress can fall less than the 2019 tally. And it is highly likely that it can be around or less than the 2014 tally. And there is also a 50% likelihood that it can fall less than 40 seats. Why do we say so? Because in the 17 Lok Sabha seats under the DMK Congress Accord in Tamil Nadu, the Congress seat share was 9. If the alliance happens, the DMK will give the Congress will not be performing sweeping all the 9 seats like it had done in the past. This, there is no pull factor, significant pull factor for the Congress except the DMK. Needless to say, there is an entire opposite scenario for the Bharatiya Janata Party. Now, where I go forward and conclude is, if you see in Assam, the Congress part, that what we are seeing is there is a depreciation of one seat in Assam possible. In Karnataka, that is where I come to. In the Karnataka, even in the best case scenario of the Congress party, there can be only a 4 seat increment which is taking place. But there is also a possibility of 1 seat reduction which is taking place. So if I do all these maths and total this, Kushal, I don't see anything which pushes the Congress to more than 52. This is where, because if there is an appreciation at one state, There is a depreciation at the other state. There is no state which the new state that the Congress Party is sweeping, which it did not did the last time. The two states that the Congress Party swept in 2019 were Kerala and Punjab, and the Congress is depleting in its states which it had swept in 2019, and it is not sweeping any new state that it had not swept in 2019. With this, I conclude that there is a 90% probability for the Congress to fall less than 52 seats.
Okay.
Also, mind you, sorry to interject, there are certain union territories also which were won by the alliance. This time we'll see marginally the BJP coming forward. Say, for example, the Lakshadweep. Lakshadweep last time had gone to NCP Sharad Pawar. This time Lakshadweep will go towards Ajit Pawar Gut as of right now.
Okay. Did Lakshadweep vote today? I don't know. I don't remember.
No, it did not. It did not. I'm just telling you, it did not. I'm just telling you, it did not.
No, they did. Lakshadweep did vote, brother. Lakshadweep mein aaj, as of now, as per the EC, it is 59%.
Lakshadweep voted.
Yeah, Lakshadweep as of now is 59%. Last time, the voter turnout in Lakshadweep was 85.21%. Up tak sirf 59% inhone likhe diya hai. So, if such a huge drop in the voting is there, what do you attribute this to? Now, I mean,
I'm attributing it simple, Kushal. Places where the Muslim vote is significantly high, that if the India Alliance has to do well, the voting percentage has to be very high. Because Saharanpur is a seat where the India Alliance, I'm seeing it in other parts also, India Alliance is doing significantly, is polling very heavily and giving BJP a good fight there. And there the voting percentage is high. So ideally, both the voters have to come out to vote, and if there is a lower voting percentage in a seat, you have to see which voter has not come out to vote. So if Kushal Mehra and Pradeep Bhandari are fighting, imagine last time 100 people had come out to vote, this time only 50 people are coming out to vote. Who are these 50 people of? Is majority of these 50 people of Kushal or Pradeep? That is what we have to see.
Yeah, because you know why everybody keeps talking about the low voting percentage. Now, here's why Lakshadweep throws the cat amongst the pigeons is that Lakshadweep has never been a BJP seat. Let's get real. It's never been a BJP seat. Now, even there, the voting percentage has dropped abysmally. It has dropped abysmally, whether we like it or not. I mean, that's and yes, full disclosure, as of now, the voter turnouts are not final. This is still 7 p.m. as per current media reports. They keep on updating it because they keep calculating the voting percentage, and it keeps happening, I think, all night. And then they release the final figures tomorrow morning. Magar, it's not going to be a jump of like 20% in Lakshadweep. Now, this is a seat where BJP is not in even, you know, BJP's got no dog in this fight.
Also, it is not even contesting.
It is not even contesting. But even there is a lower voter turnout. So how does one calculate this lower voter turnout at a philosophical level then?
No, you can't take a macro analysis on that right now. You have to see, as I said, this is where people get it wrong when they do a secondary data analysis. When you do a primary data analysis, that is what you have to see, who constitutes that vote. So if it is the, as I said, say for example, you are talking about the seat of Alwar. Now, there are two scenarios which are possible because I can't reveal a lot of it. Either it is the BJP voter who's not come out to vote, or it is the anti-voter who's thought that Modi is already winning. So you have to see who constitutes that vote is the more important factor than what the vote is. Say for example, Bengal. Bengal is now voting around 78 to 80%. Now with that argument of 78 to 80%, which means that all the people who the pro side and the anti side both have come out to vote. Last time also Bengal had polled very, very heavily. So as I said, you have to look at it state-wise and you have to look at it seat-wise. Who is constituting that?
Now, you know what is interesting is this is why I keep repeating it. There are three points that I always say that somebody has to do when they are analyzing which way the wind is blowing, as they say. Number one would be, so how do I know this is? Because I've never hidden it. I've worked in four elections on the ground. I've actually worked. Like, I've never hidden this, nor am I hiding it. So I know how people psychology works. So usually what happens is people tend to be more comfortable in the going to the booth before they go to vote. Wo kya karte hain? Acha, mera naam hai kya? That's behavioral pattern, right, Pradeep? Wo jaat dekhte hain ki, okay, is my name in the roll? They tend to go to the booth of the party more likely on average whom they vote for. This is the pattern. And you can ask anybody who has worked at the booth. That is point number one. So today, just by absolute numbers of what people turned up to vote, you don't know, because you don't know which booth they went to. First, that is point number one. Point number two is, after the vote is cast, we don't know which booths in what areas. Like, there are traditional Indie Alliance voting areas and there are traditional BJP voting areas, right? I mean, without using any caste community names, there are traditional areas that vote X, there are traditional areas that vote Y. Now, we don't know which areas have which voting, right? So, to do any analysis on what has happened today and just look at absolute numbers, which is why I loved the fact that you actually did bring up Lakshadweep, and I asked you the Lakshadweep question, is like, abhi Lakshadweep ko figure out karo na, usme bhi 24% voting percentage gap hai, to aap, what do you make of it? I mean, you can't make anything, right?
Yes. That is what I've been saying, and this is what I've been debating since long, and I've been arguing since long, that we tend to over-analyze the overall voting percentage. We need to analyze what that voting percentage constitutes. And this you can only analyze when there is a primary data. And I say this to you, if you remember in the Madhya Pradesh assembly election, everybody was saying there is no wave, there is nothing which is happening, who's coming out to vote, what is happening. What was the end result? You saw a landslide victory, because everybody was knowing that BJP, 55% of the women were voting the BJP, and that was 50% of the electorate, so they could win every close margin seat. So we need to go a bit micro and granular when we look at voting percentage.
Which is why it's very important. Now, can we go into the section of the same chapter 3 where you say,
yes,
will the BJP cross its tally of 303 seats? Now, full disclosure, brother, I am... Okay, like, explain your analysis about where you think BJP is heading this time.
If you ask me, and this is what I've been saying, and it's gone across, it's there on social media and it's gone viral, that I do my data analysis has been said, and we've not released an opinion poll for certain contractual obligations. I'll be releasing an exit poll, but I'm seeing this, the BJP performing in a much bigger manner than what it was in 2019, and I back this with simple logic. Logic number one is, I don't see any part of the country which the BJP had won last time, and it is getting wiped out or getting depreciated from that area in a significant manner. I am seeing many parts of the country where the BJP is increasing its tally than what it was in 2019. Example, Odisha, the Bharatiya Janata Party got 8 seats last time. This time I am seeing that the BJP can... I will not be surprised if the BJP touches 14-15 in Odisha. The last time the BJP got 18 seats in Bengal, if proper voting takes place, if no polling booth manipulation happens, if polling booths are guarded well, there is a huge undercurrent against Mamata Banerjee, and I will not be surprised if the BJP crosses 20. In Telangana, the Bharatiya Janata Party got 4 seats last time. This time, the Bharatiya Janata Party can emerge as a party with minimum 7 to 8 seats. In Tamil Nadu, the BJP and NDA was 0 in Tamil Nadu and Puducherry. This time, they will open their account for sure. In Andhra Pradesh, last time, the BJP got lesser votes than Nota. After aligning with Chandrababu Naidu, they can at least minimum get 2 seats, can increase further also as BJP. Last time in Maharashtra, they had fought only on 25 seats and won 23. This time, they will fight on minimum 28 seats and win more than 23 seats than last time. Last time, the Bastar seat was not won by the Bharatiya Janata Party. This time, the Bastar seat can be won by the Bharatiya Janata Party. Last time, there were 2 seats in Jharkhand which the BJP could not win. Out of those 2 seats, one is a Hemant Soren relative who has come to the BJP, and that is where the BJP has a good chance. Last time in Punjab, the Bharatiya Janata Party was only one, I think, Gurdaspur and one more seat. This time, they've got 3-4 strong candidates, and this time, they can marginally increase from more than two is what I can say. Karnataka is a bit dicey whether they can repeat 25, they can sweep it completely, but it is a sweeping scenario. You could just see that it is 25, more than 25, more than 20, but they are the main dominating party in Karnataka. So if you look at it across the country, Uttar Pradesh, they had got 62 seats. This time you are seeing them in a much bigger sweeping position in Uttar Pradesh. In Bihar, this time they are fighting on 17 seats. As BJP, they will do well. NDA also, we have to see. significantly it is going towards the Modi vote. So I am not seeing any part of the country where there is a wipeout of BJP which is taking place or a dip of BJP taking place, but I am seeing some places it is creeping increasingly, some places it is increasing substantially. This is where I am saying that there is a more than 90%. If you see the if I want to show your viewers one important this is this part where this is where I say that there is a 49% probability of there's a 43% probability of NDA crossing its tally of 352. There is a 49% probability of NDA crossing a tally of 380. But overall, there is only 9% probability that NDA will go less than 352. So this is where I conclude, because BJP is the bigger poll. This time in NDA, you will see larger BJP, smaller alliance than 2019.
But honestly, I mean, I'm just sharing my opinion. You don't have to agree with me. Like, I just don't buy this 400 plus figure that, you know, the...
That is an idealist figure. That is an idealist figure.
Like, I mean, it's like, how? I mean, I just don't get it. Where the numbers are...
See, imagine how the narrative has changed. The opposition here is not thinking about winning. It is just thinking and confusing whether everybody's talking about the Modi will touch one. It's like saying that Sehwag, somebody has already won the match. You are only deciding whether whether on the World Cup final, whether you will win with 10 wickets or 9 wickets or 6 wickets or 5 wickets. That is what the debate is happening right now. But the bottom line is somebody is winning the World Cup final.
Yeah, that's the thing. And you know what bothers me about discourse in general is, like, people get scared about things without looking at the numbers. Just let me. And I, why I'm doing this is because then you can explain it better than I. You know, so aaj subah se log shuru ho gaye. Bihar mein voter turnout low hai. Bihar mein voter turnout low hai. Char constituencies mein Bihar mein aaj voting hui hai, right? Nawada, Jamui, Gaya.
Nawada, Jamui, Gaya aur Aurangabad.
Aurangabad. Achha, mazhe ki baat hai. As of now, Nawada mein 43.21% voting dikhai gayi hai. Abhi ye change hoga kal tak number. Achha, last time kya tha? 49.73%. जमुई में 50.1% वोट हुई है तो लास्ट टाइम 55.25 हुई थी. गया में 49.51 हुई है, लास्ट टाइम 56.18 हुई थी. और औरंगाबाद में 51.56 अभी तक दिखाई जा रही है और लास्ट टाइम हुई थी 53.67. तो लोगों ने, मतलब मुझे हंसी क्या आती है मालूम है, कि लोगों ने अज्यूम कर लिया कि इस बार बिहार में लोग नहीं उतरे. अरे बाबा, उन चार कॉन्स्टिट्यूएंसी में तो लास्ट टाइम भी लोग नहीं उतरे थे. तो
और अभी मैं कह रहा हूँ कुशल, जब सुबह तक आप वोटिंग देखोगे 53 तक, जो आप बता रहे हो उसमें 2-3% बढ़ जाएगी जब ईसी रिवाइज करेगी तो.
या सो प्रदीप, दिस इज अ जेनेरिक क्वेश्चन, बट हाउ डू यू टीच पीपल फर्स्ट प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ एनालाइजिंग इलेक्शंस? इट्स वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट बिकॉज यू डू टॉक अबाउट.
I don't, because जिसको अपना ओपिनियन पहले से ही बना लेना है वो क्या उस पर चीज करके सोचेगा, भले किसी राइट हो या लेफ्ट हो करके. तो इसलिए अपनी बात रख दो. और इसी ने मैंने इस बार किताब कर दी कि भैया जो है पढ़ लो, क्योंकि क्या है ना, इसको एक गेस्टवर्क बना दिया है. क्योंकि हो गया है कि इतने इस बार इतना सारा हो गई, पोलिंग आ गई है, सब चीज आ गई, इट बिकम लाइक अ गेस्टवर्क. सो माय होल आइडिया वाज टू कम अप विद एन एनालिसिस, बिकॉज़ द लॉजिक इज वेरी सिंपल दैट पीपल डोंट लुक एट 2019. से फॉर एग्जांपल, पीपल आर सेइंग कि भाई बंगाल में वोटिंग परसेंटेज हाई हो गई. बट ऑलवेज इट हैज बीन हाई. In 2019 also it was significantly high. When Mamata defeated left, then also it was significantly high. So every part has its own trend, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so okay, you know what, because you had told me we only have an hour, so I will take a few viewer questions more than anything else. So somebody has asked me, because you have discussed Maharashtra in the book also, what does Pradeep ji think of Maharashtra in his analysis in terms
I have
of
been to Maharashtra to... Yes, I have been to Maharashtra and my team has also been to Maharashtra, Kushan. I can tell you for sure that the BJP will not find any problem as BJP in Maharashtra. The NCP, Ajit Pawar, will also do well. Eknath Shinde's seat, we have to wait and watch how they perform.
So I did speak to a few friends in Maharashtra, because again, it's a state that I belong to. I am from Maharashtra, so you know, you can't blame me for caring for Maharashtra. So for example, I was closely following one seat where the candidate who's fighting is Sudhir Bahu Mungatiwar. He is a minister of the state. And last time, the voting turnout was 64.89. By the way, लास्ट टाइम बीजेपी हैड लॉस्ट दिस सीट, राइट? चंद्रपुर हारी थी बीजेपी.
यस.
एंड दिस टाइम द वोटिंग इज 55.11, राइट? अभी व्हाई डिड आई चूज चंद्रपुर एज एन एग्जांपल इज बिकॉज नाउ पीपल विल मेक अ जेनेरिक एनालिसिस कि ये तो लो हुआ है तो बीजेपी हारेगी. भाई वो तो लास्ट टाइम हाई में हारी थी तो इस बार क्या होगा उधर. नाउ आई हैव स्पोकन टू पीपल, आई एम नॉट गोइंग टू टेक नेम्स बिकॉज आई मीन भाई अभी व्हेन यू आर अ कंटेंट क्रिएटर यू हैव एक्सेस टू मल्टीपल पीपल अराउंड. सो आई डिड कॉल पीपल हु आर यू नो मैनेजिंग बूथ्स एंड फ्रॉम व्हाट आई हैव बीन टोल्ड बाय दोस पीपल एंड I could be wrong, and I mean, I could be wrong on the basis that they told me something wrong. But what I was told in Chandrapur is the turnout was on the booths, which are traditional BJP areas, where usually
this
BJP
is what I'm saying. My dear, exactly. जब कोई चुनाव में पता होता है कि कौन जीत रहा होता है तो फिर लोग वही निकलते हैं जो उसको जिताने वाले होते हैं. आज ओपोजिशन के वोटर को ये अंदर समझ में आ गया है कि वो चुनाव नहीं जीत रहे हैं तो कई लोग हताश हो चुके हैं या बड़े कोर लोग ही निकल रहे हैं. दिस इज एग्जैक्टली द पॉइंट आई एम ट्राइंग टू टेल यू. जहां उनको लग रहा है कि वो जीत सकते हैं वहां वो बड़ा हो हैवी वोटिंग दिखाएंगे. से फॉर एग्जाम्पल ममता इज ट्राइंग टू बी अ वेरी गुड कंटेंडर. सो दिस इज व्हाट आई एम ट्राइंग टू से. सो वी नीड टू अंडरस्टैंड पॉलिटिक्स विद लॉट ऑफ लॉजिक.
But this was a generic question somebody had asked, but what does one make of the overall lower turnout today? How do we overall make an analysis of the lower vote?
Overall, you can make an analysis that, okay, so I will tell you this because we are getting data from different seats. I don't want to comment on this because the EC bars me. But overall, what I'm trying to tell you that the Modi voter has come out to vote it is not that it has not come out to vote. And only very enthusiastic people have places where the voting is high, both the sides have come out to vote.
And do you see any probability of a 2004 like thing where...
No, that 2004 can only happen... 2004 can only happen. See, please, whenever people analyze 2004, they forget that in 2004, before the elections, the Bharatiya Janata Party in Uttar Pradesh had lost the assembly elections. Its vote share had dipped significantly in Uttar Pradesh. This time, the BJP stronger in rural areas than urban areas. The women voter in rural areas is more with the BJP than last time. In fact, more with Modi than last time. Earlier, the BJP was an urban Brahman Baniya party. Now it is an all-caste party. And voters never vote confusion. Voters always vote stability and clarity. This is where a basic psyche is. If someone is a big house, and now in the country, there is no anger that someone has to remove a big house. So it's very clear. That is what I can tell you for sure. People
okay,
will be surprised
now,
to see the
result. Okay, now I want to go into another chapter of your book, but before which is your chapter 4, because I think these are the key yes. chapters in my view
yes.
Of your book, where in you start by quoting Prime Minister Modi's charisma and chemistry make him tower over the present pantheon of leaders in India. Now, how do we know about popularity of Prime Minister Modi is when we have these kinds of, you know, opinion polls about popularity of leaders. We clearly see that Prime Minister Modi is always like, even during peak COVID, his popularity was like 63% when the world was in a lot of trouble. So in that sense, but again, from an electoral perspective, how does the popularity of one person like doesn't necessarily transfer to every seat or every constituency? How does it work?
No, it does not. But it basically impacts every seat and every constituency. It converts the seats where there is the BJP has the base vote. It cannot convert the seat where the BJP does not have a base vote. So there are a lot of seats in Tamil Nadu where the BJP says that is 1% base vote and it can increase to 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. But that does not mean that it will convert the votes. But places like Uttar Pradesh, Bihar and say some seats in Tamil Nadu, Telangana where the BJP is at a base vote of more than 15, 20%, it sweeps it to more than 40, 45%, 50%. So this election is a Modi vote. But when Modi gets a base vote, it takes it off and converts it into a winning seat. Where there is no base vote, he ensures that the vote share is increasing. There are certain places like Andhra Pradesh and all where there is no BJP factor that much. That is what I even in Kerala you will see some medium seats pockets will see BJP doing well in terms of vote share, and the BJP is doing is in serious contention to win two seats. One is Trivandrum and the other is Thrissur.
Trivandrum. Okay, that isn't that the place.
Don't be surprised if Shashi loses, huh? Don't be surprised
yeah,
if Shashi
so loses. that is Dr. Tharoor's, like Shashi Tharoor's seat. I'm like, whoa, okay, that's interesting. That's a bold prediction.
I am in Trivandrum day after tomorrow, so I'll update you.
Okay, I'll look forward to hearing from you on that. But again, on Prime Minister Modi, you talk about how as a personality, people find certain characteristics in him. Like you talk about him giving hope to people. Like you start the chapter by saying that Prime Minister Modi gives hope to people. Now, in your chat with people and then when you went on the ground, so what were the key personality traits that Indians look for in your analysis? And how does Mr. Modi then come up to Trump's in those personality traits?
Kushal, what I can say is that, we can take one more thing, because is that Modi basically has a Modi tripod, is what I explain here. Three things work out in Modi's thing. A, he ensures that welfareism reaches on the ground with minimum to least corruption to the poor of the poor. That is where. Number two, for the aspirational one, the global civilization, the global pride of India, under him, India emerges a strong nation. And whether it is on defense export, whether it is the imagery with Biden and other leaders, all of it, more people feel that with Modi there, India is secure. And number three is the civilizational pride, where people see that he's at the Ayodhya, he's ensured that Ayodhya Ram Mandir has come out with his government, the case has fast tracked. He does not hesitate to wear a civilizational identity with pride. And India, in a sense, is Sanatan and civilizational. So there is a parallel drawn between the non-Sanatanis and the Sanatanis. And this is the third identity of it. So the welfare ensures the women vote. The aspirational class ensures the aspirational vote. That is, the global pride ensures that the youth and the elderly are with you. And then the civilizational thing keeps your core voter also intact. So these are three things. The main characteristic of Modi is that people feel that under him, the country is safe and secure, and his niyat is good, and he will not do anything against the intent of the country. That is what I can say. So you can take one or two more questions, because at 10 o'clock I have to rush to another election show.
I know.
Can I read one part of the book, which is very interesting, if you allow me?
How about this? Yes. How about this? We'll have this part as the ending. I know you have to go, so I'll not keep you for long. Mujhe malum.
So I would love to spend more time with you when I'm in Mumbai. And
raat ko coffee piyenge.
Done. So what I'm trying, Kushal, allow me to, say one thing, that I hear in towards the last part, and I would appeal to your viewers to read this, because this is where I conclude the future of Indian polity, that what any party or any political party, in order to win, has to ensure three basic things. A, have a strong organizational. B, have a very strong and a charismatic leader. And three, have a clear ideological footprint. All the three are necessary conditions for you to come and win. If you have two of the three, you still cannot win. If you have one of the three, you cannot win. You need all the three conditions to win. And one factor, which is a common factor, which I detail, is that arrogance in public life is completely rejected, and only a humility in public life is accepted. Arrogance is something which will kill your work and everything. And this is where I conclude, and I want to say very important point here, and this is where I will read, that eventually the Indian polity will move away from youth dominated to women and elderly dominated. So if you remember, Modi is a very he said that I will have Ayushman for every elderly man. Why is he saying that? Because Indian demographic is becoming more urban, not more rural. And number two, it is not becoming youth dominated, it is becoming women and elderly dominated further. So where I write in my book, in the years to come, the factors that will drive the political narrative will be nationalist in character. Any party seeking a mandate must be committed to the people and be conscious of the evolving dynamics. India will also see in the long-term future a polity with dominant welfare narratives decided by the women and the elderly, who will form a large chunk of the population. It is no surprise by 2055, the women's voting percentage will beat the men voting percentage. Besides, as Indian women steadily become more educated and wealthy, they are also becoming more politically aware. So the welfareism will also shift towards more elderly, more women-driven welfareism. And this is where the last line is what I conclude. In the previous book, I had said that only a conscious, committed and a nationalist opposition can take on the BJP in 2019. Today, in the run-up to 2024, I say that only a conscious, committed, nationalist and dharmic opposition can take on the BJP, which is unfortunately missing right now. Narendra Modi may go down in the history as the only Indian Prime Minister to remain unbeaten.
Fair enough. Pradeep, I know you have to go. So, aap aage bado. I will make the closing comments and wrap up the podcast. But before we go, Pradeep, thank you very much for coming. It is always a pleasure to talk to you. I look forward to meeting you in Mumbai. Ya to agar Mumbai mein nahi mile, to main Delhi aa raha hu, tab Delhi mein milenge. Magar milenge panka. Ek coffee mere upar hai aur achhi sandwich khayenge jaise last time khayi thi.
और तुम अपनी किताब मुझे देना और मैं भी अपनी किताब हार्ड कॉपी दूँ।
Yes, exactly, exactly. हम दोनों एक दूसरे को अपनी किताब देंगे। So, take care, buddy. And it was always nice talking to you. It gives me immense pleasure and happiness to see you go, go to places and reach these heights. It's really nice. It's okay. I'll take it from here, buddy. You take care. I'll answer a couple of
questions. Thank you so much, Kushal. Let's take the country forward soon, whatever we do. Thank you so much for having me and I hope to come for again and again on your podcast. It's always another side of me which comes in. I have a lovely conversation. Thanks, brother. Thank you.
Thanks, brother. Take care, buddy. Take care. Bye. All right, guys, I will answer a couple of questions that you guys have asked. Okay, I'll take those questions up. So Anushri has asked, Kushal, I want a certain party to win, but I don't want the candidate from my constituency. What should I do? Nota or vote for the candidate? Anushri, I have explained this multiple times on this podcast. The Indian political system is not an individual leader driven, individual candidate driven. It's actually a party driven system, especially post that anti-deflection law, defection law jo aaye the post the Narasimha Rao Rajiv Gandhi fiasco. So you have to vote for the party, never look at the candidate, because unfortunately what happens is the structure is as such, right? In the American structure, it's like the candidate, like I'll give you an example. When we had that senator from Pennsylvania, you know, he said that I don't agree with President Biden on many things and he's a Democrat. It doesn't happen like that in India. We have a very different system in India. Whatever the BJP or the Congress or the DMK or the TMC decide, everybody, because of the law, has to vote like that. And if they don't, they get disqualified. So you have to vote based on policies and political parties in India. So please don't make the mistake of looking at candidates, especially at the Lok Sabha level. It literally does not matter, because aap kitne bhi fantastic candidate ko chun loge, jo parliament mein policy level pe vote hone wala hai. It is determined purely by the political outfit. So you could actually, essentially you're voting for a political outfit and the prime minister, because the will of the prime minister will be carried through. So I would recommend to go through that. Somebody has asked lower voter turnout in Rajasthan and UP. Can it be a 2014 repeat? I have not looked at every single constituency, but I did show you the numbers of Bihar just now in this constituency. The four constituencies that have had a lower voter turnout, first of all, these are not the final numbers. Isme thoda bahut badhega. Uske baad bhi agar, if you look at and compare it with the 2019 figures, right? And this is not like I have found out something that is a secret, top secret, and these numbers are not publicly available. These are publicly available numbers. This PDF is basically on the election website. These are numbers of parliamentary constituency wise voters turnout for the election from the Election Commission of India 2019. And when we look at the constituency and the voting turnout numbers, you will find out that it's okay. The trend lines are not that off. I mean, yeah, you could attribute a little bit here, a little bit there, but it's not that off. I mean, it's too early. Once again, let me repeat, it's too early to draw any conclusion, because you have a low voting turnout in Lakshadweep. Who are they voting against? BJP was never a player there, right? So you never know what happens in the end. Somebody has asked, is Rahul losing future of INC? Listen, I think he'll win Wayanad. I'm pretty sure. So how is he losing? So he'll be in the parliament. Do you see Owaisi losing vote share in Hyderabad? Vote share, yes. Losing the seat, I don't see him. Has the voter turnout been satisfactory for BJP to win comfortably? You cannot know that until and unless you have a connection with every single booth of the candidate. Like, I spoke to folks in Chandrapur. They said their voters turned out. They seemed fine. So I can say about Chandrapur. Now, having said that, maybe they got it wrong. And, you know, come June 4th, I would be proven wrong. But I'm just giving you what I spoke to some booth agents there. They're like, nahi sir, hamare yahan pe to voter turnout hua. This is Sudhir Bamungatiwar, where he's fighting. So I spoke about Chandrapur. Again, Bihar, I have explained. I'm just looking at other... please give exit poll numbers. Exit polls happen at the end of the election. These are opinion poll numbers. So all the Chennai South 57% turnout, how will it impact the result? Once again, like I tried to explain it before, you don't know which booths did the turnout reduce, which booths has the turnout increased. That's how you come to decide. Please try and understand. Deciding which candidate is going to vote in which direction is very complex. You have to understand where the voting has happened. Which booth were they going to? It's very natural human psychology. If I want to vote for the Congress, I'll go to a Congress booth. If I want to vote for the BJP, I'll go to a BJP booth. I'm not saying it happens 100% of the time, but an overwhelming percentage tends to go to the party booth where they are voting for. Yes, sometimes it will be like, yaar, Congress ka booth nazdeek hai, main jaake apni list mein naam dekh leta aur wahan pe jaake vote kar deta. But usually the booths are near the polling station, right? Where you usually have it. So these things are very common. It's just that I was purely lucky and privileged that I got to work on so many elections in my life that when I saw these things hands-on, I got a beautiful perspective of how to work and how these things roll and how the cookie crumbles, as they say. So these are very common factors. So don't draw any conclusions right now. On any basis, you just cannot draw any conclusions right now on what way this election is going. First of all, even the first day voting percentages, right? You'll have to wait for the final figures to come out. Then in the next 4 or 5 days, people who are connected with their political outfits, they will start asking ki hamare booths pe turnout hua, nahi hua, hua ki nahi hua. And then you'll start knowing these things. That's how cephologists, like serious cephologists, work. They start asking those polling agents. Everybody has a polling agent. Aur wo bolte hai ki nahi, nahi, hamare yahan pe to pura voting hua. So you know, one booth has like 1700, 1800 voters, 2000 voters. To unko bolenge, tumhare yahan itne aaye? Haan, haan, hamare yahan itne aaye. Aur itne logon ne vote kiya. So these kinds of things happen. So you have to wait for a few days. Just because you want instant answers, because we live in the world of 60 seconds, you're not going to get instant answers. There is no instant answer. Will we ever get booth level data? No, it's not that easily publicly available. And I think it is also for security reasons of the voter. They give you general data through the election commission. Will phase one momentum influence the other phases? It depends. It depends on how the BJP and the other parties do their rallies, how they galvanize the voters, etc., stuff like that. Usually, I think by phase two or phase three, you can say where the wind is blowing. This is too early, man. This is too early. Basic question, but what's the role of booth management? So this is what booth management is. So every constituency has, so like one parliamentary constituency has 6 Vidhan Sabhas, legislative constituencies. And then they have multiple wards. And then in those wards, you have multiple booths. So every political outfit usually, or at least outfits with a cadre, the BJP has a cadre. So they have something called the Booth Pramukh. So that what that Booth Pramukh does is, he has a list which they print from the Election Commission of registered voters in, let's say, booth number 10 of that constituency. And then they make sure that these people in that booth come out and vote. So what they'll do is usually they go and give these chitties. You I'm sure you must have seen it as a voter in your life, like political party ka logo hoega aur udhar jaake aapka naam hai aise karke. That is one way. So they know it is there. On the day of election, they try and go, some political parties go and tell the voters, ask the watchman, kisi ko vote karna hai, is there an elderly couple, we can take them. That is point number two. They do that also. And these are small. And then there will be like every political outfit will have like a table in a certain area. So you can walk to the table and it's like, mera polling booth batana na jara bhaiya. And then they look up the list and they're like, aapko ye school mein jana hai, ya ye hall mein jana hai, ya yahan jana hai. And then when you go over there. So this is what booth level management is. Usually one particular booth has around 1600 to 2000 voters and you manage that. So that's how they do it. I don't know how many people have ever worked in this. It's just because I've worked from booth, ward, Vidhan Sabha. I've actually physically walked and done door-to-door knocking in 2014 in one entire Vidhan Sabha. I am not making this up. Along with a team of 6 to 8 people. Literally, physically knock doors and tell them to go out and vote. One Vidhan Sabha has lakhs of people. But we did it. So which is why I have so much in-depth interest in this whole thing is because I've actually physically gone out and done these things in 2014 and again in 19. So this is the reason I know this. Yeah, this year I'm not doing door-to-door as of now because Bombay ko bahut time hai abhi. But yeah, we've done all this. But anyways, so we'll stop today's podcast here. But before we stop the discussion, once again, I would like to take this opportunity to request everyone who has not bought my book as of now. If you have not, you can go on Amazon.com and click the, just type search, mein Nastik Kushal Mehra. You'll get this book as you see, and you can pre-order the book. I think the deliveries will start now because the publisher had told me they have started getting copies. I'm going to get my copy, physical copy too. I've not also touched a physical copy in a day or so. And then they'll start dispatching. So the best time, honestly, if you want to place a pre-order is now. You can, because if you place a pre-order now, you'll start getting your book soon. So if you have not, do consider buying a copy of my book, Nastik, Why I'm Not an Atheist. And please like this video, subscribe to the Charvak Podcast YouTube channel, leave a comment in the comment section. And if you are an audio listener, you can leave a rating on the audio platform. And always remember, the Charvak Podcast is actually driven purely by its members. So if you want to really support the Charvak Podcast for a long term, do consider joining the membership program, whether it's on YouTube or Patreon or on Fanmo. You can also buy merchandise on Kadak Merch or on other platforms like my own website, kushalmehra.com. You can send donations through UPI. If you can't do anything else, just keep watching the content and consuming it. I'll see you guys next time with another interesting discussion. Until then, namaste, take care. Bye-bye.